everyone. Welcome to the Cultivate Podcast through the Grove Church. I'm Charlie Lofton, the lead pastor there. And so thank you so much for joining us. I have with us special guest and just general theologian, Bible expert, Mark Freeman. What's up, dude?
Good, man. Good. How are you?
How does it feel? How does it feel to be an expert?
Man, I just always wait to hear what my introduction will be.
What particular area of expertise you have?
No. Not that
you're an area
that
in all expert in all areas. Yep. Mark is also on staff with us at the Grove, and so really glad that he is joining us. And if you've been with us for the last several episodes, we have been, I guess, 8 episodes deep into just talking about the Bible. Mark and I spent 3 weeks talking about the authority of the scripture, where does it come from? Then we had a little Q&A with our producer, Abigail, and then we had Melanie Alexander on, really just talking about having a passion for God's word and studying his word and why we don't, why we should. And then we did another Q&A, and we are starting a new series today. And really those 8 sessions that we did on the Bible really kind of came out of a series that we started, a sermon series that we started at church, kind of asking and answering big questions. And one of them is, can we really trust the Bible? Is the Bible true? And since then, we have done several more weeks on some other big questions. And we're not going to do 8 episodes per. I guess we could. You ready to do 8? It's 8 times 40 more. Anyways, you ready?
Are they big questions?
You are an expert. You are an expert, so I'm sure you've got more than enough.
Oh, yeah, plenty of time.
But we're going to spend at least some time talking about some of these big questions, and what they are, does God really exist, and is he personal? Can we know him? Talking about the problem of evil, is Jesus Christ the only way to God? And then we're going to wrap up this series on Easter by talking about the resurrection. And so we're just going to spend some time talking about each one of those. Have no idea on the front end how many episodes this is going to be. Sometimes we get into things and the talking gets big, so we'll see. And so we're going to start today really as a follow-up to the sermon that you gave in the series, Mark, where we talked about, you know, is there a God and is there a God that I can know? And I thought your sermon on that was great. And as I was thinking about the way to follow up on this, there are, if I ask somebody, do you believe God exists and why, there are people that will give really like academic answers to that question. And we can talk about some of those things. But really, even before we get into that, I think the big question I have for you as a follow up to your message is, if someone were to ask you, not academically, not as a theologian, but just as a person, Mark, why do you believe in God?
Yeah, and I admit up front, you know, and you see the more that you and I talk back and forth, I mean, I am definitely personally built as more of a feeler.
Right.
And so there is the truths or the things that I would look at and go, oh, this makes good sense. But man, it really is experiential for me.
Okay.
There are moments in my life that I feel like God has revealed his presence and his power, his provision, all the P words, his peace,
nice.
You know, just in different ways that I have, when I've been in those moments that I was really asking if he was even there, if he even cared, he's just shown up in some really big ways that I have no other way to explain other than that he was there.
I'm assuming,
and that he cared.
I'm assuming you grew up in an environment where belief in God was taken for granted.
Right.
So there really wasn't kind of an academic wrestling that you had at some point to kind of, hey, I've got to make a decision about this. It was just kind of...
Yeah, that came later.
It was assumed, more. Right? But then at some point it is confirmed. Do you have a story or two of the, like, kind of these moments, like what you're talking about, where one of the P's really just kind of got the best of you and you're like, man, I think I really, this is kind of a way that God has kind of shown up.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I did grow up around it so much that it was an assumed thing. And my parents' faith has always been strong. I also grew up hearing a story about my basically the doctors told my parents when I was about a year old that I was not going to make it. And there's this miraculous story about the way that as a little baby I was healed. Wow. And I just always heard that story. And then the older I got, the more that I realized what that might feel like when I started having kids and just thinking, man, that really is kind of a crazy, miraculous story. And then when I was in high school, I know these are the kind of stories that are like, yeah, I mean, but to the person, to me, it was it was really big. I fell off a cliff and.
Okay. Time out.
I did.
Like 6 feet?
No.
20 feet? Like 50 feet?
Like
give us a picture here.
Man, I'm horrible at that. I don't want to be the big fish guy. It was a long ways up.
Two stories, like a second story building. It took a two story building. Yeah. Okay. All right.
It was big enough that there was the mouth of a cave underneath it. That's the reason me and a buddy had crawled up above it. And I slipped and fell off the face and I passed out in the air, so I only remember looking down and seeing that there were only rocks below. And when I woke up, I was in a place 10, 15 feet away from there to the side of that in this one little patch of grass with no scratches or bruises.
Wow.
And there's just some things like that I'm like, man, there was a sense when I got in the car and Pearl Jam was playing, I'm Still Alive, which is pretty awesome.
And on the way back home, I was listening to some worship music. Pearl Jam.
Oh, man. It was spiritual for me. I realized, man, I just feel like, and there are just some things like that. There's some times when financially I wondered, man, how is this all going to work out? And I've seen God show up, and I don't have another explanation other than the supernatural and his care and concern for me. So.
Yeah, my most academic or faith pondering moments that I've had, it really is stories like that for me too. I mean, something very similar happened to me when I was 12 and our church was on a float trip at the Buffalo River, which is something we did annually. And we'd stop for lunch and we've been doing this thing where we're kind of in this rapids and the kids would get at one end and follow the rapids and then crash into this wall of a guy, and then he would toss us to the side and we would do it again. And he left, and it was just me swimming out there by myself. I said, I'll do it one more time, and then without him there, and it's no big deal. But then I got to the end and panicked and was trying to swim upstream in these rapids and was getting exhausted. And I heard this voice swim to the side, which obviously it shows how much of a panic I was in. Like, duh, of course, don't swim upstream, swim to the shore. So I swam to the shore, swam to the opposite shore from where everyone was, again, showing just kind of what in a crazy space I was, swam to the opposite shore, and then turned around to where everybody was eating to see who it was who had saved my life by screaming at me. And there was no one looking at me. No one had noticed that I was over there. No one had noticed anything. And you would imagine if someone was screaming at you, swim to the shore, they would like watch to make sure that you made it, tell my mom or something. Mm-hmm. And no one noticed. Now I'm sitting here just walking on these rocks on the other side. Finally, someone did notice me saying, hey, there's snakes over there. That was the first time anybody in my group no person shouted, swim to the shore.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter how hard my brain works, I cannot come up with any other explanation than it was the voice of God. Mm. And I've leaned on that story before. It's one of just two audible voice stories I feel like I've got in my life. But that one is obviously the most significant and really life-changing for me. And it's like that's why I feel like I know. All academic arguments aside, why do I know God exists? I heard him talk to me once. And it's a big deal. Again, a lot of other little stories like that where you're talking about provision, where God just kind of shows up and little, you know, day-to-day kind of miracles. But that's kind of the big one for me.
Yeah, and I was thinking too, man, I mean, this is a quite a bit different. But I also, at different times in my life when I got into sin, and you know, there were things that really, morally, maybe weren't that big of a deal, or I wouldn't have, you know, as a teenager, wouldn't have gotten in that much trouble, or, you know. Right. But there was this sense within me that it's one of my convicting things about knowing when I actually became a Jesus follower.
Right.
Because I experienced the Holy Spirit, you know, putting his finger on things and saying, hey, this can't work.
Mm.
You and me and this can't all exist together.
Oh, yeah.
And that was so powerful that it wasn't just, you know, normal conviction. It was that. It was God saying,
That's good.
And then giving me the power over sin, which, you know, I watched others that didn't believe and didn't trust just experiencing domination by some of those same things. Mm. And it made me realize, oh, there's a power. There's this power right. at work that's not normal, you know.
That's really good. All right, so I'm sure you've had conversations like this. I have. Just even with the last couple of years, where you're talking to someone who is at least experimenting or dabbling with atheism, and or maybe is just a full-fledged atheist. And so you've answered the question, why do you personally believe that there is a God? Maybe your answer here is going to be the same. It may be slightly different. But if you were talking to someone who was legitimately an atheist and asked you the question, why should I believe in God? What kind of answer do you feel like you'd give them, or have you given?
Yeah, most of my answers are more questions of, so how's that working for you?
Hmm.
You know, as you try to navigate life without a God in it, that relies on your own power.
Right.
That is, you know, is that playing out the way that you thought that it would? Because it just feels like in most of those conversations, and even in the seasons of my life where I've really doubted a lot, as I start to walk down that road a little bit, I realize, man, there are just too many. There's too many convincing things happening around me. And when I try to make it go it alone, it just seems like this, the hill of life is insurmountable. It's just too much. I can't go there. And so even as people try to talk about those convictions that they have, it seems like they're always struggling to make sense of it.
Which is why they're talking to you about it.
Right.
By the time an atheist has gotten to the point to where they're wanting to talk to a pastor about it, they're probably feeling something.
Yeah, and I've just got a lot of friends that are sold that, you know, it's just this earth, it's just this life. We live, we die. There's nothing beyond that. But then when really tough things happen, when crazy things happen in the world, when, you know, it's crazy how spiritual everybody gets. Which has been another convincing thing for me, that when it all hits the fan, people get really spiritual really quick.
Right.
Which says something. Why is that? You know, the Bible talks about that God has put eternity in our hearts, that it's there and it shows itself in those hard moments. In the good moments, people can, you know, we can act like we're really tough.
Right.
But when we're broken, what happens?
Yeah, I'm skipping around here a little bit, but you kind of brought this up. Like, it's one thing, and I want to talk about this for the intellectual eggheads out here. We want to talk about some of these proofs or explanations or things that intellectual arguments that people make to figure out if there's a God or not. But it's one thing to be able to say that there's something about the universe that makes me think, okay, this couldn't have happened for no reason, right? Why there's something instead of nothing, right? Something doesn't come from nothing. But there can be a God that creates everything, but there's no... That doesn't necessarily mean he cares.
Mm-hmm.
But you've hit on something there that I think is really important. There's more than just evidence out there in the world that there is a God, but I believe that there is evidence that there is a God who cares about you. And I think the thing that you said is, like, he's put something in us. He has put something in us that, again, when time gets tough, mm-hmm. right? When things get hard, there's a place that he's put there in us to make us yearn for something more than just this world. So I'll skip around then and go ahead and ask this question too. So there is a God. How do I know that this God cares about me? Because I can imagine a creator God. And I've heard people say this. I've got some people that I'm actually very close to that don't like to pray, or certain, like I don't feel comfortable praying before meals. God bless my food. And like, if you're the God of the universe, you've got bigger concerns in the world than whether or not my food is blessed. Mm-hmm. He's got bigger things going on than, hey, I broke my pinky. Can you heal it? I mean, he's got galaxies to manage.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we believe that this God is uniquely personally interested in you?
Yeah, it's an interesting statement that he's so big that I don't seem to matter. And at least in my experience, he's so big that he's fully capable of... That's how big he is. Yeah,
right.
Even that big. That he cares about the big things, but he also cares about the small things. You know, yesterday I walked outside and I was walking with our 9-year-old twins and our little dog. And man... the sunset was just insane, beautiful. You know, there are things on the planet that nobody sees. And yet he created something beautiful that, you know, we find it and take a picture of it just for a split second because somebody's diving deep into the ocean or,
right.
You know, I mean, if there is a real God that did exist, that does exist and did create all these things, he is very intricate. And the minute details matter. And each life is of value. So, yeah, it plays that he would be very... his bigness would lead us to believe that he does want to be involved, not the opposite.
Yeah, I mean, a God that is big enough to create everything to the detail that he does and has the ability to manage galaxies... has got leftover
he's got
brain power
yeah.
to be able to be interested in the details of your life. So he has the capacity. So I do think, like, because I hear this from time to time, and you'll just see these articles, you know, there'll be some new discovery that's made in space. You know, the universe is bigger than we thought. And then someone will follow up on that with, the universe is bigger than we thought, and... it seems like there's no life out there does the bigger the universe get, does that make it less likely that God exists? And I'm like I really don't follow the logic.
Mm-hmm.
Like the bigger the universe gets,
the more proof that, yeah.
But I think maybe the idea is that the bigger the universe gets, the less likely it is that he cares about how your marriage is doing, right? I mean, if we think about God at the end of the universe, I mean, just think about how far away that is. Like, we think about how big he must be, how separate he must be, and so there's just how could God? Obvious. I mean, to me, the bigger the universe gets, it's clear that God exists, and I would agree that the gap between who we are and who he is gets greater.
Mm-hmm. Which is what...
Yeah. Right, I mean, that's true. I mean, I don't think you can explain the universe, I don't think, apart from God. And again, we'll talk about these kinds of things in a minute. And the bigger the universe gets, the bigger God gets, because he has to be not just one step bigger than the universe, but a steps enough, big steps enough to be the one that created it. But the bigger he gets, a lot of people think the more remote he must be. So you mentioned you believe he has the capacity, because he is big, he has the capacity to care about your marriage and your broken toe. But what makes you believe that he has the willingness, like the desire to know Mark Freeman.
Yeah. I mean, again, man, I have experienced it. I have seen in those moments God show up big and press me through in places that I didn't think that our marriage could move forward, or situations that I thought had no resolution. My own heart and just being willing to, or wanting to give up, and him meeting me there. I've experienced it. Hmm. I mean, I can testify that it's real. So, I mean, there's, you know, I could talk about biblical passages or things that I know, but it's, to me, it really is about that he's met me in those moments.
Yeah, and the uniqueness of who we are, and our desire to ask big questions, and our desire to find out why, and to find out who, and this spiritual yearning that is in us, it seems to be a design characteristic, like, mm-hmm. but it is not a universal design characteristic. It's not that everything in the universe has that.
Mm-hmm.
Just we do, right? And it really does. It seems like that God put that in us, and that he wants to have a unique relationship with us as opposed to other aspects of his creation. I mean, I think God has a relationship with dogs and cats and fish and mountains and these deep, intricate parts of galaxies and planets on these galaxies that our eyes will never see. Mm-hmm. And even if we can see them at some great distance in some telescope or some satellite that's out there, we're not ever going to go and explore the surface. We're not ever going to dig underneath the surface. And underneath all of these things are all these incredible details that God has created for himself. But then also in all of this vastness of the universe, there is this one species, this one entity that has built into it this great desire to know him.
Mm-hmm.
And that just doesn't feel to me like the thing that evolves. That the level of self-awareness, the way that we ask questions about the nature of the universe, the way that we ask why questions in deep ways, and then this thing that just kind of keeps pulling us upward or outward. There should be large swaths of us that just don't care. Right? And again, there's plenty of people who don't believe, but that's not the same thing as my heart isn't pulled that direction. And so if God did create, if we're assuming the idea that God did create and that we are a part of that creation, it seems to be in our design for that we want to know him. And if he put it in our design that he wants us to know him, to me, that very strongly suggests that he wants to know us.
Mm-hmm.
Abigail, how many minutes have we been recording?
26.
Okay. Well, Mark, I told you this as we were prepping this. I said, hey, I've got an episode that I want us to do where we talk about the existence of God. And I kind of, as I was sitting here, I sent you the text yesterday. And as I put it out there, you'll remember, I was like, I don't know if this is one episode or two. Hey, guess what?
It's two.
It's at least two. So what I want us to do in the next one is I want us to spend some time doing kind of more of these kind of, talking more about these academic proofs. And so you were kind of the star of this one because you're the feeler and I'm the thinker. And then, so maybe you can ask me some questions because I want us to talk about some of these, because there are a lot of them out there and I want us to talk about them in addition. But honestly, I agree with you that I think the deepest reasons why we believe in a God aren't rooted in academics and logic and philosophy, but in just the life that we've lived. And so thank you for sharing with us. And thank you to all of you for joining us and being a part of the Cultivate podcast. And again, we're going to follow this up with a part two we're kind of talk more about these supposed proofs of God and all these different ways that people have academically reasoned why God must exist. We're going to talk about some of these. I've got a ranking of what my favorite one is, what my least favorite one is. We can talk about all those kinds of things. So if you who are more academically minded, I encourage you to come back and join us. Well, I encourage everybody to come back and join us. And we're going to keep this series going even beyond this as we are asking and kind of giving some answers to some big picture questions. And if you are a part of the Grove Church, we're glad you are. If you're not, we would love for you to be. Whether you live in Northwest Arkansas and can join us in person on a Sunday morning, you can join us online. Either way, you can find all the details you need to know about who we are and how to join us at thegrovechurch.org/connect. And again, I'm Charlie, this is Mark, and thanks for joining us at the Grove Church Cultivate Podcast. Thank you.